Today we're going to begin a new series on dealing with our emotions. Dealing with our emotions. Now, when we think about emotions, we realize that they are part of us, our inner being, the inner man, the inner woman. Our society puts a lot of emphasis upon the outer person. But the truth of the matter is that men and women are more than their outer physical essence. There is an inner aspect of mankind that must be considered, that must be understood, if we desire to be healthy and spiritual persons. Now, as we think about the inner man, today is going to be kind of a foundation. In the weeks to follow, we're going to be looking at different emotions. But we want to have some foundational truth. To understand the inner man, we must first understand at least three things. First of all, we must understand the nature of God. The nature of God. It's always good to start with God, isn't it? As we think about God, God is a person. Now, being a person, that means that God has emotions as well. We're made in the image of God. God is a person. Now, you say, well, that's obvious, but not in our society. Sometimes we have to go back and just repeat something that for born-again believers, you may think, well, that's ABC. Yes, it is. But the people around you don't always understand that today. God is not a force. It is not, may the force be with you. God is not just a power. God is not just an influence upon lives. God is a person. He exhibits those elements involved in personality. As you read through the Bible, He creates. He also destroys. He provides. He promotes. He cares. He listens. He loves. He also hates. And He can be grieved. These are not aspects of some force or some energy. Those are aspects of a person. God's personality can also be seen in His names, in His actions, in His attributes. So God is a person. God is also a spirit. Because, unfortunately, we are limited on this one plane, this one basically in three dimensions. And we think in that aspect. And so when we think about a person, we think of a physical being. God's not physical. God is spirit. Jesus said in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit being. He's not limited to the dimensions we know. He created the dimensions we know. He does not possess a physical body. Now, you say, but Pastor, the Bible refers to the hands of God, to the eyes of God. It also refers to the wings of God. But that doesn't mean that He's some being with multiple eyes and multiple hands and feet and wings. It's using language that we as mortals can understand, speaking about His being. But He does not have a physical form. He is spirit. Now, He can appear in physical form. We have times where God walks with man. We have times where the prophets had visions of God sitting up on His throne. But that is, He can appear that way. But He is not material, not limited like that. But what is a spirit? A spirit is a being without flesh and bones. God, in His pure essence, cannot be seen by human eyes. Moses said to God, let me see you. And God says, you cannot see me in my true essence or you'll be destroyed. And He puts him in the cleft or the fissure of the rock. And it says He puts him there and puts His hand, as it were, over him, puts him there, and then walks by and lets him see the backside. He sees the afterburn of God's glory. No one sees the pure glory of God. Now, not until, in a sense, no one saw God in a physical form until Jesus came. When Jesus came into this world, He joined Himself to mankind. He took upon himself a physical human body, and he will retain that forever. He is the God-man. He joined his divine nature with a human nature yet without sin. But the Father and the Holy Spirit have not done so. They're still pure spirit. The other thing we need to realize about the nature of God is a triunity. We normally say trinity, but maybe triunity might work better. That's found throughout different aspects of the New Testament. Let me just take you to one verse. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus gives what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. Listen to his words. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, not names, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You see, God is three, but he's one. God is three persons, yet one God. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But if you glance at that little drawing up there, that diagram, that is often used, I better step aside out of the light, that is often used to kind of help us with that. The Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. But the Father is God. Jesus is also God, but Jesus is not the Father and he's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit is not the Father and he is not Jesus. There are three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, but one God. Now we find that other places. We find that in the baptism of Jesus. God the Father speaks from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit comes down and Jesus is in the water. Three people, one God. You'll find that over and over in the writings of the epistles. The doctrine is hinted at in the Old Testament, because we have plural pronouns, or plural used of God. We have Adonai used of God, which actually is a plural form, which means three or more. We find the way he speaks, "Let us do this. Let us create man in our image." It's hinted at in the Old Testament, but it is clearly declared in the New Testament. Now, ultimately, the Trinity, the triunity, is a mystery which our mortal minds cannot fully comprehend. So if you say, "Try to explain it to me," I can give you illustrations, but those illustrations always will fall short. He is God. We're just men and women. And so we don't truly, fully understand, but we know the truth, and we know that it is truth, because it's found in the Word of God by divine revelation. Otherwise, we would not understand this. So if we're going to deal with emotions and the inner man, we must first of all understand the nature of God. But secondly, we must then understand the nature of man, our own nature. Man is created in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And goes on to say there, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." Three times in these two verses, it is said that man, unlike the other creatures, was made in the image of God. Man is especially designed to reflect God's spiritual image. Just as Roman coins would bear the stamp of Caesar's image, so we bear the stamp of God's image upon us. Now, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, obviously, it doesn't mean physically, because God is a spirit. Rather, it has that idea of the inner person. We are, primarily, we would say, we're self-conscious. Self-conscious. Harold L. Wilmington says, "Human beings are in the image of God in that they, among all animate beings, have the godlike characteristic of self-awareness, the ability to choose between good and evil, the ability to relate to their creator." Most of you have pets. You have a little dog. You have a cat. We love those things. And we enjoy them. But I have never seen a dog stop and pray before it eats. I've never seen a cat pause and give thanks for what it's about to partake of. There's not that awareness in that aspect, that ability to relate to God. J. Vernon McGee comments, God is the essentially personal being. And in giving the man an immortal soul, he gave him also a true personality. Man has self-consciousness. He has the power of free choice. He has a distinct moral responsibility. He is in the image of God. And as such, we can relate to God. You see, man, in a sense, is also a triunity. Not like God, not three persons in one body, no. But there is a threefold aspect of the human being. We are threefold in nature. We, in a sense, in a way, we're kind of like that with the Godhead, the Trinity. Man is composed of three parts. I'm sure you could name them. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. You might jot that down. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Threefold. Now, I will step back and say this. That inner part of man, the soul and spirit, are so closely interconnected that often we refer to a person as being spiritual and physical. But when you break it down, as the book of Hebrews says, the dividing even of soul and spirit were actually three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. We have, or we are, body. Now, the body is the most obvious part, for that's what we see. That's what we observe. The body is the material shell that interacts with the physical world. It is the vehicle through which we act and experience the material reality. And that deals with our five senses. We deal and touch the material world through those five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch. We are physical, we are body. But we are, we are also soul. Soul is the psychological part of man, the conscience. It comprises the mind, the intellect, we think. It comprises the will, choices. We decide we're going to do this or that. It also deals with the emotions, our feelings, what we're going to be dealing with in the next few weeks. The gates of the soul are our imagination, our conscience, our memory, our reason, our affections. The soul acts as a bridge between the physical body and the spiritual essence of our being. Finally, we are spirit, body, soul, and spirit. Now, spirit is the dimension of men and women which deals with the spiritual realm. It is the deepest, most immaterial part which has the capacity to know God and connect with God. It has been said that the sense faculties of the spirit are spiritual, or spiritual faculties are faith, hope, reverence, prayer, worship. When man was created by God, he was spiritually alive. He had the capacity to talk with God, the capacity to fellowship with his creator. We read that in the cool of the day, God came to the garden, and Adam and Eve went out and fellowshipped and walked with God. But when Adam rebelled, when he ate of the forbidden fruit, he died spiritually. Because God had said in Genesis 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Now, death in the Bible is separation. We know that when we die physically, our soul, our spirit separate from our physical body. And Adam would physically die eventually because of his eating of the fruit. But he didn't die that day. His spirit die. He was separated from God. He died spiritually. And as a result, each of us, when we are born into this world, being offspring of Adam and Eve, are born spiritually dead. Our spirit is no longer in connection with God. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. To be spiritually dead means we're separated from our Creator. We are unresponsive to Him. We are enslaved by sin. Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, and you, He, God, made alive, who were naturally dead in trespasses and sin. In our nature, we're born spiritually dead. Spiritually, we're walking zombies. Physically walking around, our soul is still active, but our spirit is dead. We cannot fellowship with God. We cannot understand Him naturally. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, the person without Jesus Christ, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person's spirit is dead with God, and therefore we cannot understand God. We need a spiritual birth. For this reason, God must work in our lives. He must show us through His Spirit our need. He must bring us to Jesus Christ for salvation. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He restores that fellowship that Adam lost. He gives us spiritual life. In the words of Jesus, John 3:3 and 3:7, we are born again. We're born from above. We experience a spiritual birth. We not only were born physically, now we're born spiritually. And with this new spiritual life, we can fellowship with God and we can learn from God. Understand about our nature this as well. Man's three natures interact. When you're saved, you still have a soul, you still have a body. These three aspects all interact. For example, the body can affect the soul and spirit. If you're exhausted, if you're not feeling well, if you're in pain, that's all physical, you might become short-tempered. That is your soul. You might become spiritually discouraged. Lord, I don't see how it's going to work out. Lord, I'm just spiritually down. That is your spirit. Your body has affected your soul and your spirit. Have you also ever noticed that maybe you're doing something and a scent, an aroma, a taste, or a sight all of a sudden triggers a memory? And for some reason, you're happy. For some reason, oh, maybe you're sad. Or maybe you're even fear. There's nothing there in itself that should cause you to be happy or sad or afraid. That's all in your soul. But that physical aroma or sight or taste triggers memory. And it brings back, even before you realize, why am I happy? Well, it reminds me of when I was a kid and Thanksgiving, or what my mom did or my grandma did. Why am I afraid? And all of a sudden, you remember that sight or that aroma brings back memories of some time in your past where you were in danger. The physical has triggered a response in your soul. Your soul, on the other hand, can also affect the body and the spirit. A memory of what God has done in the past can strengthen your faith for what lies ahead. Worry, on the other hand, which is in your soul, can weaken your body. Some people are ill because they keep worrying and worrying, and it has a physical effect and ulcers and other things. Or that worry can not only cause sickness, but can cause you not to be able to express your faith. And anger or fear, part of your soul, can cause these physical problems. Also, your spirit, if you're saved, can affect your soul and body. Faith and trust in God can calm inward problems such as fear and worry. Faith can also relieve physical stress. And so you see how all three parts interact if you're saved. And I will say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your physical aspect and your soul are going to interact, but you're still spiritually dead. But when you come to know Christ, now all three are interacting. Now, if we're going to deal with the inner man, we need to understand the nature of God. We need to understand the nature of man. We also need, lastly, to understand the submission of man's nature to God. We have these threefold aspects of our nature, but each of these can submit to God and will change our lives. Colossians 1:18, that in all things he, Christ, may have the preeminence. That Jesus may have first place in every aspect of our lives. Jesus is to be Lord in the believer's life. If you ever say to God, no, Lord, you're in contradiction. If he's Lord, we don't say no. If we say no, he's not actually being Lord in that aspect of our lives. Jesus is to sit on the throne of our lives. You probably have seen that little drawing before. We have a throne, as it were, of our heart, of our lives. And before we're saved, self sits on that throne. After we're saved, too often self still sits on that throne. But if we will submit to God and put Jesus on the throne of our lives, things will change. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10. Our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That starts in our own lives. Lord, your will be done in my life. I want you to be Lord of everything, of my body, of my soul, of my spirit. We can, emphasis can, control our natures, the aspects of our natures, if we will submit to God. Now, we cannot control our personal emotions by ourselves. We can try, we can try, we can try. I have an anger problem. I got to get a hold of that anger problem. I'm going to work onto it. But it keeps slipping out. I have this problem or that problem. I worry or I fret or I grieve. And we can't seem to have control. But if we give God control, he can control it in our lives because the Holy Spirit lives within us. By the indwelling of the Spirit, these emotions that we're going to be dealing with in the next few weeks can be controlled. And the spiritual believer, you know, we have, is that person spiritual? The spiritual believer is one whose spirit dominates the desires of the soul and body. Now, one day in the future, we're going to be given a spiritual body. What does that mean? It means that it's going to be a body in which the spirit is going to dominate. Too often right now, the body dominates, or the emotions dominate, the soul dominates. But we can, with the power of God, let the Spirit dominate our lives. With this basic understanding in mind, we can begin to consider how to deal with the emotions of our lives. These emotions are part of that inner part of our being, our souls. But they can be dealt with properly as we understand what God has to say about them and we submit ourselves to God. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be considering such emotions as worry, discouragement, anger, fear, resentment, guilt, grief. But let us recognize something at the beginning. Let us recognize that our emotions as important elements of our lives, not something we push under the rug. They are important. But we also need to learn to deal with them biblically. Biblically. As we begin today, we must commit ourselves to listening to God's word, his voice, as found in the word of God, and then doing what he says. in Sunday school or Bible study, we started the study of James. James says in chapter 1, verse 22, and be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's our problem. We hear it and we hear it and we hear it and we know it, but often we don't do it. If we're going to deal with these emotions, we can hear all kinds of wonderful truth. And we can say amen and we can walk out and agree with it. But if we don't do what God says, it's not going to change our lives. Will you right now commit yourself to not only hear, but do what God says? Would you in silent prayer, as we conclude, say, Lord, that's what I want. And that's what I'll do. Sit on the throne of my life. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear Lord, that you deal with our emotional part of our being and that it's important to you. And Lord, you want us to be emotionally healthy as well. May we listen to your word. May we take it in and remember your word. And dear Lord, may we act upon it. May we do it, not only to help us and those about us, but to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and let's conclude with a wonderful song to God, softly and tenderly.
Body, soul, and spirit this week through our existence.